Hello and welcome to this episode of OTT Talks. I'm Emily Hayter, I'm OTT Associate. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with Julia Pomares, who is Chief Advisor to the Government of the City of Buenos Aires, and she's the former Executive Director of CIPEP in Argentina. With today's conversation, we're starting off a new series with policymakers from different parts of the world, exploring how evidence is used in decision-making. So to kick off with Julia today, I wanted to ask you, you've gone from working in a think tank to working in government, from producing evidence to using evidence. And what prompted you to make that decision?
Hi, everyone, and thank you for inviting me. I think that it probably has to do with Argentina going through a very profound and sad for me process of decay. We have now rocketing levels of inflation up to projections of three digits for this year. 40% of Argentines living under the poverty line, and really a situation that no future was ahead. So at that moment, I think I took the decision to go back to the public sector because actually my first job was with a former Ministry of Interior more than 20 years ago. But this time is more into entering politics rather than public sector itself. And I joined the team of Horacio Rodríguez Larreta, the chief of government of the city of Buenos Aires. And Horacio is one of the main leaders of Juntos por el Cambio, the opposition to this fourth government of the Kirchnerismo at the national level. So I was really, and I am excited to work to hopefully to get to power in the next presidential cycle for Juntos por el Cambio again. So I'm working on that. And I was having the feeling that I needed to get into action to help to make a change in my country for a different way, because I was also working for that from CPEC, but it was really trying to get on this on the other side of the equation in a way.
So can you tell us a little bit more about your specific role and especially at the evidence components of your role? How are you involved in commissioning or using evidence in your role?
Yes, my role is as chief advisor is to provide strategic thinking and insight for the policy cycle and also for Horacio himself. And the government of the city of Buenos Aires has gone through a very intense process of getting more systematic evidence into policymaker over the last decade. So there is not only the idea of getting systematic evidence about what works in the more like kind of traditional evidence-based approach, but also there is this idea of having more insights into the projection for the future and how, for example, now to give you an example, the city of Buenos Aires is working in a process of it's called Buenos Aires 2030, trying to analyze and understand what are the main trends that are going to impact on the city in the next 10 years, for example, demographic trends and changes, for example, the increase in senior population, no, and the age aging of our population. So we are trying now with this process to understand what are those trends and how the policy making process should adapt to that, because it's very important to know what is going to come to try to anticipate some changes. And so part of what I'm doing, and it's a very interesting team working this Buenos Aires 2030 process, is to understand and try to shape how these trends are going to change the way we understand care policies, also economic transformations are taking place. For example, after the pandemic, as many other big cities, Buenos Aires changed a lot with the pandemic, with the remote working, also the use of public space and the way people use parks and the way we transport, we use the transport. So we're trying to understand how these trends are going to kind of settle, or maybe it's a kind of transition that is part of this post-pandemic situation and how we're going to change our main policy decisions in order to adapt to that.
And how are the research priorities set for that kind of initiative that you're describing? How do you decide what evidence is needed and from where?
Yes, I think that's a very hard decision sometimes. And I think that there is one key factor that makes this process very difficult is that politics in Argentina is a very kind of short, sometimes short-sighted process. And that has to do with several factors. One is that there is very difficult in a way. Argentina has a public bureaucracy that has not configured as a bureaucracy that is stable over time. So a key factor in having this kind of unexpected change all the time is that people in the public sector change a lot at the national level, especially, and also in some national levels. So it's difficult to have the talent stable over time to be involved in these processes. And also because of this crisis, economic crisis that we're living, there's all the time a conversation about the today, but not about tomorrow. So it's very difficult when you are always dealing with the ongoing processes of every day, but not about the short, medium to long-term view to have these type of processes. So it's a very big challenge, but we are working very hard on trying to get more and more of this type of embedding evidence into policymaking processes.
So you had mentioned that the city of Buenos Aires has been working on this kind of systematic embedding of evidence use for quite some time now. What are the main things that have been learned about that that you would highlight? What's been the approach?
Yes, I think from what I understood, I joined this position a year ago. So this process has started some years ago. So I'm learning from my colleagues at the government. And I get to think that there are three main factors that are kind of supporting this process and are very good triggers of this process. The first one is to have a very strong connection with scholars and third sector organizations, because they are all the time providing evidence and also kind of pushing for this process. So that's a very good incentive for policymakers to have a very active community of think tanks, of organizations. So I think that is a very important factor for the city of Buenos Aires. The second one is that there is also a community of international actors also pushing for this. For example, the city of Buenos Aires is part of the C40, the gathering of mayors around climate change and many global conversations about the role of mayors. And I think, for example, that process is very good for us because it helps us to get into global conversations, because some cities face, in a way, similar problems. Obviously, the contexts are very different, but some problems are the same. And the third factor, I think, is that there is a strong commitment, especially by Horacio and also by the former mayor, President Macri, who was the first mayor of PRO, of this party in the city of Buenos Aires, to get into these processes. Because I think with all this instability that I was telling you before, if you don't have political commitment and political will to get into these processes, it's very difficult to get them continue over time. So I would say that those factors are important, at least in the city of Buenos Aires.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I recognize some of those themes from other contexts as well, the importance of relationships, the importance of leadership at the top level in encouraging evidence use, definitely. I wonder, is there anything that you think is specific about evidence use at the municipal level that's different from national level policymaking or other levels of policy? I mean, in terms of either the evidence that you're collecting within the city or the particular challenges or types of evidence that's different at that level. I'm curious to know if there's anything you'd highlight.
I think that because the city of Buenos Aires is like a province in a way, and so it has a responsibility for the security policy, for the education policy in the city, and for the other key policy sectors, the main, because of the federal way system in Argentina, it's the main responsibilities at the city. So I think that because of that, the evidence about what works in at the implementation moment of the policy is very important, and to get very, very precise information. For example, about some pilots being run, we have a very huge, very important process of integration of popular sectors in some shanty towns. Well, used to be shanty towns. Now they are neighborhoods with all the capacities and all the infrastructure. And for example, in that process, it was very important to have some systematic pilots trying to test what works and what doesn't, and also with some education policies. So I think it's very important to get very kind of precise information, not just big correlations or studies showing, well, some studies show that this increases, for example, abandonment in secondary schools, and some studies show that this increases. But in terms of having very big trends, having very precise results, and I think that is very important for policy at the city level, and also because there is a lot of lot to be understood about what works at the implementation, because sometimes you are testing the design of the process, but then when you get into the implementation moment, things are being implemented very differently from what was designed. So if we don't get into the equation that you need to understand how the implementation is working, how people, officials working on implementation, how they are putting those ideas into practice, I think then you're a bit blind about what really is working and what doesn't work.
And so that evidence of how things are being put into practice, would that come both from the evidence that Buenos Aires is generating itself from its own implementation through monitoring and evaluation, as well as external evidence providers, or who would be providing that kind of evidence?
Well, we have a lot of processes going on now, and there are some external providers, for example, economists from universities working on some of these issues are very keen on getting into these processes, because for them it's also interesting to understand the way it works. And also we produce some internal administrative data of the way policies are implemented. So it depends. We have both systems working now at the city.
And so since you've moved over to the government side, or back to the government side, as you explained, I'm wondering what you would recommend to evidence producing organizations, research producing organizations like CPEC or others that are hoping to see their evidence and their research informed decision making in public policy. What would your advice be for them?
I've been thinking a lot about this question over the last year since I joined, because it's very interesting how you perceive the process of embedding evidence into the policymaking process when you are in a think tank, differently from when you are in government. I would say that now for me, especially with all the changes in the use of social media and how communication changed more broadly, I think that being very good at translating research into communication tools is key to success. On think tanks, and your organization has been working on this, and Enrique has been talking about this for many years.
Yeah.
And I think it's really crucial. And for my experience in CPEC, that needs first to have people involved from the beginning, communication people involved from the beginning of a project, not at the end. Because in what a more standard process, you go into research, you get the policy brief, and once the policy brief is written, then you get the policy brief to your colleagues, so the communication sector, to get the translation process in place. And I think that that needs to be completely rethought, and we need to have a good team. And for example, what we call storytelling process from the very beginning, to try to understand how you're going to frame the theme, the questions in place, and also what are the ways in which you're going to involve other partners during the process, then once you have the results, you are already part of the process of getting those results into the public sphere. And that means that you need to have very multidisciplinary teams, and also that you have to bear in mind that there's a lot of competition for attention now, and not only from other think tanks and other universities. Actually, you go into TikTok, you go into IG or Twitter, and you're having a lot of people trying to compete for your attention. And so it's really, you need to be really creative about how you communicate your results, whether it's with memes or with, I don't know, short videos or whatever. Yeah. I think that is very important. And I think that also needs to change the way projects are thought, because that is expensive. So it's not that it's the last part of a process, something that is kind of an add-on of a process. But actually needs more serious thinking, because also it changes the way you prepare a budget, right? So I think that's a first lesson I learned. Uh-huh. And the second one, I think I already thought about this while I was at CPEC, but now I get to confirm that, is that you need to build trust with policymakers. You need to build good relations with policymakers in order to understand what they are also needing from the other side. And also because the time frame of politics is so short, and it's been shortened. So the opportunities, those famous windows of opportunities to get influence, are shorter and shorter. So you need to be really, really open to that moment in which you try to get your research into a policy process. And that made me, maybe it's because I know it's a 24-hour moment. So you need to have also people who are really understanding the political context. So it's a kind of a lot of skills that you need to get into the recipe.
Yeah.
So I think I get to think after these years of being at CPEC and now at the government of the city of Buenos Aires, that it's a hard art. Something that and some people are really, you see that some people are very talented at getting at that moment in which now we have to push with this idea that sometimes ideas that it's not that the last policy brief of your organization. Sometimes it's like you have to get to know what your organization already researched on, and some things are there waiting for the moment to be activated.
Yeah, that's a really good and useful advice for the OTT network. I mean, I think on Think Tank's members and community will be really interested to hear that. I had just one more thing about your own role and how you're using evidence, and then a broader question at the end. I was interested in your perspective on including gender perspectives in policymaking, and what you've seen there, and specifically if there's anything that you've seen related to evidence use to include gender factors in policymaking. What kind of evidence are the specific kinds of evidence that you would highlight that are useful in order to be gender sensitive in policymaking? Is that evidence available? Where would it come from? So interested in your comment on that.
Okay, I tend to think that at least now, being at the government of the city of Buenos Aires and interacting with other people in politics, in other political parties and in parliament, that the main thing that we need to do in order to get a gender perspective in the policymaking process is to have more women involved in politics. And in politics, broadly speaking, not only in political parties, but also in unions, in big companies, and in the chambers of commerce, for example. And I think that we made some progress in Argentina, for example, now with the parity law in parliament, and also 22 out of 24 provinces have parity laws at the legislatures at the some national level. So we have made some progress at the legislative level. We have a long way to go in order to get more women into the decision making, the big decision making tables, and I think that is a fundamental change that we need to do in order to get more gender perspective in the policy making processes. And then about the policy making processes themselves, the city of Buenos Aires has made a interesting change 2 years ago. There is a new secretary for the involvement of women in the labor force. Mm-hmm. And it's a process of having to do a mainstreaming of gender policies across all the sectors. Mm-hmm. Marisa Winter is the secretary. She's doing a great job. And I think that the main challenge there for what is the proper evidence is to get good data about how the involvement of women in the labor market changes the prospects for economic prosperity for all the economy. Uh-huh. And in the case of Argentina, with this big stagnation of the last 10 years, it's even more important, and it was, for example, important in the pandemic to see how the pandemic was affecting women more than men. What we could do to get them into the labor market, and I think there is a huge. I think there is a great community now globally working on these issues, like the business case about getting more women more actively involved in the labor market and getting women involved in the more competitive sectors, in for example in energy, in some big sectors of the economy. And I think that is from my view is what we need to get involved in, and that requires not only having more research at the academic level, but also the involvement of business leaders and the whole community, because there needs to be more changes, not only in the public sector, but also in how companies are having their paternity and maternity leaves schemes. So there are many, many changes that need to be taken into play.
And then more broadly then in Argentina today, how do you see evidence being used or not used to shape political narratives at the broad level?
Well, I'm quite obsessed about that, and I think that there is a big challenge in Argentina now with this thing that people are not seeing a future. They are completely focused on solving their everyday problems, and so there is a big job to be done in order to build new narratives that can be good for imagining that there is a future ahead. And I think that requires a combination of using our own history, but it's kind of a tricky thing because we need to use our history, but also not to get in the past and about how Argentina could have been, blah, 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 and trying to think about where Argentina is now and what we could be in the future. And I think that it's also a big challenge for building political narratives worldwide nowadays. And I'm following some processes in particular, for example, in the US, this big debate now about what are the American dream and how the American dream got polarized and got part of the polarization. And I think there is a big challenge in building narratives that are talking to a more broader audience and not just to a small niche or community. I think that because of many, many trends now in place, for example, in social media, we have micro narratives that are talking to some very small segments of the audience, but politics needs to talk to a nation. Politics needs to build narratives that are for a big community, not just for a small sector. So I think it's a very big challenge, and I think it's something that is really, for me, it's very challenging, challenging myself about how I can help to do that, and it's part of what I hope I can help to bring into the table.
Well, thank you very much for joining this episode of OTT Talks. It was really fascinating to hear from you, and we're grateful that you joined us, and thank you very much on behalf of the OTT community for participating.
Thank you, Emily, for the invitation, and congratulations for the great work you are doing on the OTT.